When I sat down to write this sermon, I had called Diane and gave my scripture, and in the middle of writing it, the scripture changed. So we're going to change up here a little bit. If you would like to join along with me, we're going to be reading from Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 through 17. David is writing a psalm after he has been broken to pieces. Psalms chapter 51, verses 1 through 17. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions, wash away all my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in the inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the utmost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a new heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from blood guilt, O God, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. May this passage bless our hearts and enrich us. And will you please pray with me? Father, open our hearts and our minds. Dwell within us here. Create in us a new heart that we may learn and we may be strengthened and we may go from here praising your name with our mouth. Amen. I promised to preach this sermon. I promised to tell my story because, for the most part, most of you in this room do not know who I am. And believe you me, I do not want to do this sermon. I am fighting against it, but I don't have a lot of choice. I set out to do it one way, and God changed it. I've set out to do a lot of things in my life. God changed it, and so here it goes. A story can begin in many ways. Once upon a time, long, long ago, in a country far, far away, I'm just going to tell you the story, and here's how it happened, or my personal favorite. Once I knew this guy, and he was a bitter, judgmental, ignorant knucklehead. That was me. You can laugh. Who thought he had it all figured out. Who thought he knew the world. Who thought he was in the right place. But as I'm about to tell you, he was never where he was supposed to be until he shut his mouth and opened up his heart. I was born into the Church of the Brethren. And when I say I was born into it, I have said it before, my family roots in this church go all the way back to Schwarzenau, Germany, to the River Ader, to Alexander Mack in the original seven. We go all the way back. I've had grandfathers and a father and uncles and great this and great that. And they have all been preachers or elders or something in the Church of the Brethren. So believe you me, when I say I was born into it, I was born into it. That's how it was. I went to church every Sunday. Let me tell you what. If you didn't go to church on Sunday, you had better walk up to my father and say, Dad, I can't go to church this Sunday. And one of your arms had better fall off in front of him. Otherwise, you were going to church. That's how it was. You were going to Bible study on Wednesday night, even when you didn't understand the big words like transgressors. You were going. This is the way I was raised. And this is how it started out. Then Dad got a church in West Virginia, and it got even crazier. See, my home church is 1 mile from my house. I literally, if I'm in the mood to on a Sunday morning, and there's people sitting in these pews that can tell you, we'll fire up a tractor and drive it to church. It's that close. Church was 3 minutes from the house. And my father took a church in West Virginia, 45 minutes away, when I was about 5 years old. Now church took on an entirely new meaning. Hurry up, come on, let's go. We got to get ready. We got to go. We can't be late. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. And we were at church on time, on Sunday morning. We went to West Virginia to visit people that were sick. We'd leave and drive to West Virginia. We went along. We went. Because that's what my father did. We went to the rescue missions. We went to the hospitals. We went to the schools to preach. We went to Bible school there. We went to funerals. We went to weddings. Of course, we did get to go to church at supper churches. You know, somebody would say, "Preacher, I want you to come over and have supper at my house this Sunday." And by golly, we got to go along. And that's where I learned my appetite was strong. I was born into the church. There was an inheritance being made ready for me, and I wasn't going to take it. I grew up kind of frisky, kind of ornery, kind of wild. I have this thing in my head, and although I really don't think it shows out, if you tell me to do something a certain way, I'll do it that way because you told me to do it this way. Don't sit there and shake your head, woman. That's my style. I've got a head. Look at it. It's made of poured concrete. Can you see it? You can't get anything in here. I did what I wanted to. I knew the world was out there, and so I went wild. To put it plainly, I gave back nothing. I walked away from those teachings. I was a preacher's kid, and by golly, I wasn't growing up that way. Because I wanted what the world had. I had friends that went to church. Never. They didn't go to church on Sundays. They stayed home and worked on snowmobiles, or they went and did this, or they watched TV, or they did whatever they wanted to do. Man, that's what I want to do. I don't need to go to church. It was all going that way. I became hurtful, mean, resentful, hard-headed. When I was 10 years old, my parents split up. My world ended just like that. I went from living in a house surrounded by all of my family to living in an apartment in the inner city in a place I should never have been because I didn't understand that world. This little Rube Goldberg kid from the mountain coming to the city. And I got meaner. I got mixed up in the wrong people. You hear that saying, "I got mixed up with the wrong crowd." I didn't. I went willingly. I jumped into the middle of them and said, "Hey, here I am. Let's party." 11 years old, my mom couldn't take it anymore and said, "That's it. You're going to live with your father." "Yeah! He's got the farm. I can go live on the farm. Yeah!" And then it was back to going to church every Sunday and back to Bible study and back to this and back to that. And I got meaner and more hard-headed. When I was 13 years old, I started drinking. 13. I want you to think about that for a minute. 13 years old, I started into alcohol. By the time I was 15, I was doing drugs full time. Yeah, that's me standing up here in front of you, using them hard. 15 years old, had no desire for anything. Still went to church every Sunday, still did all the stuff that I was supposed to be doing, but kept my secret life back. At 19 years old, I kicked the door of the house open one Sunday morning. After church, we came home, kicked the door of the house open, and I said, "I'm out of here. I've had it. I'm a man. I'm an adult. I'm leaving here, and I'm not going to repeat what I told my parents they could do." And I stomped out that door, got in my truck, and drove away, and went to live in the basement of a crack house with my friends. That's part one. I'm not going to talk for length of time about what went on in that house because it was ugly. But it's where I was, and it's what I wanted to be. I grew my hair long, longer than it is now. I played drums in bands. I went wild. And I didn't go to church on Sunday. Man, I didn't have to go to church on Sunday. I didn't go to church on Wednesday night. I didn't have to do anything. I'd just wake up on Sunday mornings, clear out the hangover, try to find something to eat, and go play. And that's how it was. I was living the good life, wasn't I? I had it all, man. I was set. I couldn't have rubbed two dimes together until my paycheck came in on Friday, which I proceeded to drink up. Sold my car to buy food one winter because I lost my job because it wouldn't work. Had to walk to work at McDonald's. Oh, yeah. Went to work at McDonald's. But God never quit looking. He never quit watching. One night while I was at work at McDonald's, the crack house I lived in got raided by the police and the landlord. And all 10 people in there were arrested and taken away, but not me. I came home to that. That was the first shock. Hey, what's going on? So I went to the landlady, and the landlady said, I like you. I'll let you stay, but I'm going to be watching you. And boy, did she ever. But I still continued to act up. And God did not give up on me. He continued to put things in front of me that would allow me to move on. But the alcohol and drugs kept getting worse and worse. Finally, things were going pretty good. Had a job again, had some wheels again. And a friend of mine was killed in a drug-related accident over, I think it was $25 in a rifle. Killed in front of his 7-year-old daughter. That's the world I was living in. Didn't make no difference to me. I was sad he was gone, but it happened. Time continued on. Then the next thing I know, I lost another good friend in a drunk and drug-related vehicle accident. And the man stood at his memorial service was his father. And you have to know Mr. Holter. Mr. Holter's a farmer over in Middletown, Holter Home Farms. He is a big man. He is a strong man. And he stood there at that funeral, and he told this story, and I'm telling it. He said, we were cleaning up the dairy one morning, and I looked at Jimmy, and I said, Jimmy, when you get that haircut? Now, Jimmy and I, long hair. I know you can't believe it, but there are pictures. And his father said these words to him, and he said, Jimmy, turn to me. He said, Dad, what is the problem? He said, Jimmy, you look so much nicer without that long hair. And Jimmy said, tell you what, Dad, before Thanksgiving, I'll get my hair cut nice and neat. A week later, Jimmy was killed. That night, the next day, I went home and mended my fence at home. God was watching. God was putting things in front of me that were opening my eyes. Whether I realized it or not, the way was being made. The glass was being poured into. It wasn't time to pour out yet. The sin was bad. I went home. By 1999, I now had a very good job down in Baltimore and became the manager of my division for the company I was working for. And oh, by the way, I quit doing drugs. In 1993, I gave up the drugs, not the alcohol, but I gave up the drugs. And I became a manager. In 99, I rose to the top of this company 5 years after being there. I was now in charge of a multi-million-dollar company. I was running the show. I was top of the world. And by now, I had become prideful, judgmental, mean, ignorant, cared for no one or nothing. I once fired a guy that came to work because he was late because his son had kept him up the night before with a fever. Fired him. That was me. That's who's standing here. And keep that in mind. During that period in time, God saw His way fit to change my path again. He put her, my wife Wendy, right in front of me. And for those of you who have been in her class, I already know she's told you the whole romantic story about how we met. And I did. I asked her to marry me the very first time I met her. She, of course, said no. Took a little while to convince her, but I did. And I'm sure, Shirley, you've heard the story, and all you women in there, Pat, you heard the story how we came to be. But she got in my life. God's laying the path. He's pouring up. He's filling up. But I still had a lot of problems. While we were dating one night, we went out with a bunch of friends and we went to a bar. And the night went on, and after the night, we got in the truck to go home. And Wendy will tell you this. This is a straight up true story. She turned to me and looked and said, "This ain't going to work." What did I do? Nope, I didn't do anything wrong tonight. She said, "I watched you drink all night long and you're not drunk. I am not going to be with somebody like you." She's a whole lot more fun to kiss than an alcohol bottle. So I gave up drinking, and that was hard. But I became even meaner, not listening to what was being laid out for me. I'm putting my foot down here. I'm more judgmental, more ornery than you can imagine at this point. Now Wendy throws the next monkey wrench into things. She says, "Hey, guess what? We are going to start going to church." "No, we ain't. You can go. We ain't going." And I put my foot down. And so when we were in church that Sunday, we wound up at home at Harmony, back home for me, back with my family. And I didn't want to be there. I did not want to go to church on Sunday mornings. I could think of a million other things. And I kept getting madder and madder. And people were walking up to me going, "Hey, you're Paul's kid, ain't you?" That's what I heard all my life. "No, I'm not going to be a preacher. I'm not interested in that. Thank you, no." I am telling you right now, I am putting my foot down. We're going to end this nonsense once and for all. I'm not going to be a preacher. So in 2001, as I was preaching my first sermon at Harmony, you see the pattern here? Don't tell me God don't have a sense of humor. I started preaching, filling in here and there. Hey, it's kind of fun. I kind of like this. Then God got on me. And He really started to lay on me. And the church there accepted me in tighter. And I began to be like, "What's going on here? I don't necessarily not want to go to church on Sunday anymore." And it kept going. In 2003, after a lot of changing, the church voted to send me forward to become a preacher. 2003. They stood up in a unanimous vote. I can tell you that night was powerful. And I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't have nothing to do with it. I said, "God, you can do whatever you want. I'm not preaching. I've had enough of this. I'm too scared. I'm not ready to let go of the world. I'm not ready to give it up." And He kept pouring in. God finally had said, "Okay, I've had enough of this." You know, Ellis told me back there before we were getting ready to go that you could measure a man how he was raised by his height. Because he said if he was a big man, that must have meant he got spanked an awful lot. God said, "I've had it," and He smacked me right in the head. He said, "You are going to preach. You are going to bring My word." And it wasn't voices talking or anything like that. I don't hear any of that. It's things that happen, and I know God did it, and here's what happened. I had finally risen to the top of the game. I had gone through two companies. I was now fully accredited as a coordinator. I could go and do anything I wanted, and I landed a job with Frederick County, and it was going to be a prestigious job. It was going to pay good. It was going to keep me within 15 minutes of home. I was going to have the freedom to come and go as I pleased. I was going to be able to do whatever I wanted and run this job. And boy, I was full of myself. I told the whole world of what I was doing. I bragged about it. I was wound up tight. On the first day, it took me 4 months to get that job. On the first day, I sat in a truck with my new boss at that time. And he made the mistake of asking me what I thought about illegal immigration and how I really felt about it. And if you could see my wife's face just now, the color go out of it. Whenever somebody asks me that question, she gets scared. Because I'll tell you what I think. Because I'm right. I'm the greatest thing since sliced bread. I know everything. And I proceeded to tell him, and friends, I didn't pull any punches. I told him what I thought of illegal immigration. I told him what I thought of the welfare system in general and the complete demoralization of this country. And I said some things that were nasty. I thought I was talking to a good old boy. God said, "That's it. That's the final straw. I've had it with you. You're going to listen." The next day, at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, the county fired me. On the spot. The man said I had never heard such things come out of somebody's mouth like that. Now, I found out later there was a little bit more to it than that, but there really wasn't. I said them. I did them. Now you're going to hear something that I don't think anybody knows. I got in my truck and headed downtown. I knew where the drugs were. I knew where the liquor was. And I was going to take myself out that night. It was on. My world came to an end again like that. As it says right here in these words, you have broken. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. It says that you broke my bones. Let me hear joy and gladness. Verse 8. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. I got in my truck not knowing what to do. I couldn't go backwards. I couldn't go get another job. I had to tell her. We were going out to dinner that night. The world was coming to an end. The blackness and fog settled in. And I'm not kidding. I'm in my truck going to kill myself that night. And there's not a lot of people that know that. Now you all do. I was ending it because I couldn't go on. The great almighty me was done in. I had been crushed down. And as I drove downtown, a voice in my head said, go home and pray. Go to the church and pray. Quickly. And I turned the wheel, drove home, got the keys out of my cousin's pickup because he has a key to the church, ran into the church and prayed for an hour. And the very woman that I loved came to me and she put her arms around me. The very woman that I had put through hell, for lack of a better word. A lot of people don't know, we almost divorced in the first 3 months of our marriage. It almost came apart at the seams. Not because of her, because of me. Because of this. Now I'm broken. I am crushed down. I have been destroyed. And I'm praying. And Pastor Tracy comes down and he reads this psalm to me. And I started reading the book of David. This psalm has become my calling card. I should have used it to start with, but once again, I thought, I'm going to do my sermon this way. God said, no, you're not. You're going to put that in. Now listen to me the next time. I came away from that after 2 hours in the church. I came out of there the next day. I picked up the phone, called the district, and I told them what had happened. But I was scared. Right before all that, though, came something in between it that I got to finish up with this. That happened on a Monday. That weekend was our revival. I am supposed to go to revival. On Friday night, I didn't go. Wendy had to go to your grandmother's, I think, and do some work up there at the house. I was home alone. I didn't go on Friday night. On Saturday afternoon, God said, listen to me. I want to talk to you again. And here's how He did it. My cousin Glenn, who's sitting right there, came up the driveway while I was outside to talk to me. He brought something back. We were standing there talking for a minute. He was getting ready to leave, and he turned around and he said, you need to come to church tonight. Pretty much just like that. We're your family. We love you. We'll be there for you. You need to come to church tonight. And you got to know Glenn, because Glenn never says anything about nothing. I served with him on the Ministry and Witness Commission in our church, and if he said 2 words during the meeting, that was a surprise. Glenn never talks. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's just his way. But what he said hit me like a maul to a sledgehammer to my concrete block. Went to church Saturday night. Everything they talked about was pointed at me. Sunday morning, I'm supposed to be the church leader because Pastor Tracy is up in Greencastle. Pastor Leon Yoder, who's been doing our revival, is preaching. I have to fill everything else in. I have to get up on Sunday morning after going through what I've gone through. And God said, I'm right there with you. And I cried through that whole service because every song, every word spoken, every movement was aimed at my heart. And at the end of that service, I came forward and regave myself to Christ. And He said, I want you to preach. And I said, okay. No more games. That Monday morning, I called the district. I told them what was going on. Don Booz, the district administrator, said, "I'll call you back." Linda Strait called. "And you're a beautiful woman." This church needed healing. And I was broken in many pieces. And I said, "Okay, I'll go." And I got warned there had been some problems here. And we're not going to discuss that. I went. I'm not arguing with God anymore. I'm too scared now. And I went. And I came in, I sat down, I had an interview. And the interview was great. And I had a trial sermon, and I enjoyed myself. And God kept saying, "Come here." And that's how I wound up here. A broken man who's being rebuilt, filled up, and poured out of by the grace of Jesus Almighty. If you don't think He can't do it, come talk to me any day you want, and I'll tell you this story all over again, word for word, piece by piece. He is an almighty healer. He is an almighty protector. I'm not bitter anymore. I'm getting rid of my judgmentalness. I'm getting away from them problems that plagued me because of these four walls. I'm starting to pay attention to my family and to my wife because of these four walls, because I was sent here. And this family at this church, every Sunday when you talk to me, you have no idea what you're doing. I will never let that come before me again. I was prideful, and I was raised up to be not, and I blew it out the wrong way. But thank God Almighty for His precious gift that allowed me to be here. This church has become an anchor for me. There's people that call me that say, "I hate to bother you." Never call me with those words again. Call me. Because every time you do, it charges me up inside and reloads me. I need you as much as you need me. I'm filled up to overflowing. Let me pour it out. Through my prayers, God has answered them. This is the point in my story now. And it will go on from here. And it's not really my story anymore, is it? Friends and neighbors, thank you for hearing me. Jesus Christ saved my life. He will save your life, and He will take you through anything you can find if you'll just let Him. He brought me here. He gave me a new home here. Would you please pray with me? Father above, thank you for the opening. Thank you for the awakening. Thank you for the glory that pours into me. Thank you for taking this vessel that still has a long and rough road. You have said it will not be easy being my child, but it will be worth it in the end, Father. It's worth it now. I pray unto you to throw whatever you need to throw at me, to straighten me out at any time. And I thank you, and I bless this church, and I bless these people, and I pray your blessings down upon them, Father. I pray that you lift them up. I thank you for your Son and His almighty gift. In your precious name, amen. It is your day. If you're not right, if you're not here, it is your day. What in the world are you waiting for? Do you want to get smacked around like I did? God has salvation laid out for you. It's in Jesus Christ's hands. He will clear your glass of water, and all you have to do is give it to Him. I encourage you, I beg you, please don't leave those doors without being right. Please don't. If there's a need on your heart during this last sermon, I beg of you, come forward and accept Him. If there's a need that needs to be straightened up, beg of you, come forward and we'll pray with you.
Please stand and turn to page 444.
I love. be my theme in glory to tell the old, old stories
of Jesus and His love. I love to tell the story. 'Tis pleasant to repeat what seems each time I tell.
And of the Holy Ghost, and all God's children say,
Amen. Amen.